top headlines.
The Boston Herald has been forced to pull a story regarding Tom Brady and him willing to sit out OTAs unless he was being paid more money up front than Jimmy Garoppolo. That story was written by Ron Borges. Apparently, Borges was catfished, as the kids say nowadays, by a radio caller text. In actual news, the Patriots reportedly working on a new contract extension to bring back special teams coordinator Joe Judge. Celtics beat the Wizards last night in overtime. Kyrie Irving led all scorers. Greg Monroe made his debut. Here's Monroe after the game.
It felt good to be on the court. You know, I hadn't played in a while, so it's just good to be on the court. You know, the atmosphere was good tonight. You know, we fought for a tough win in overtime.
Seas host the Pacers tonight. Grandy and Max, they have Celtics tonight for you, starting at 7 o'clock. Bruins off tonight, back tomorrow hosting the Sabres. Nola Chari practiced without a red contact sweater today. Kevin Miller and Frank Vetrano both missing from that practice. Tuukka Rask will get the start. Finally, Evan Drellick of NBC Sports Boston reporting that the Red Sox and Logan Morrison's camp have been in touch recently. The Sox still want J.D. Martinez, but there is groundwork for alternatives. Headlines are brought to you by Boston University Hockey at Aganis Arena. Tonight on Comm Ave, the BU Terriers drop the puck against the UMass Minutemen at 7:30. Purchase tickets at AganisArena.com. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headlines coming up at 1:30.
Miss Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's the time? It's time to get air.
What's the time?
It's time to get air.
So what's the time?
It's time to get air.
Now what's the time?
It's time to get air.
What time did Zo get ill? He got ill at, I don't know, yesterday at noon?
Yeah,
sounds about right. Thursday at some point.
Then according to his text, it's very detailed information whenever Zoe is out sick. He told us at 5:52 a.m., hey guys.
Hey, check it out, guys.
Check it out, guys.
Can't pick head up. Got chills and 102.
Oh boy.
Been up since 3. Hit me last night. Jim responded, okay.
He's been known to have, but as you said earlier, he's been known to have very high temperatures, temperatures that I would say are known to cause death in adults.
Yeah, what'd you say, 107?
He survived.
Did you say 107
in the past,
morning?
Not today, in the past.
Yeah, I heard you say, Zoe told you guys at one point that he had
no, he's dropped like, oh, it's approaching like 105. You're like, no, it's not.
Oh,
if you're 105, 106, 107, okay, that's hospital. That's like,
yeah.
That's not right.
No.
No.
It's impending death most of the time.
Jim then sent out two texts right after he said okay about stories for us to talk about on the air today. I was the first, I believe, only person that said feel better, Zoe. And then
yeah, but your text said feel better, Zoe. XO.
Well, you feel better.
I thought so, I should have said feel better, Zoe. LOL.
Feel better, XO, as in kissing a hug.
Yes.
Oh.
No, if we could, it was a typo.
Get back on this point about the NBA trade deadline.
Well, I haven't finished going over my text.
You keep doing that.
Okay.
I want to believe that the Lakers are going to be a complete mess. I want to believe that. I want that to be true.
Of course.
I just know that if you give them a couple of weeks and Isaiah Thomas is playing pissed, that maybe they could be a decent team down the stretch. Maybe he is going to be a difference there instead of what he was in Cleveland, because that was a train wreck. 15 games, 7-8. He gets there, he's hurt, he's sitting out. He didn't shut up the entire time he was there. And he obviously made a lot of people mad along the way, and he didn't really fit in there.
Well, in order for that really to work, he needs the supporting cast. You know, let's use last year as the example. Isaiah Thomas had a career season with Boston last year, but also had help. Not the type of help that they have now. And, you know, I look at what Jason Tatum has meant to this team.
Yeah.
Obviously Kyrie, but, you know, leave that one out of it. Morris has contributed in big spots, you know, at different times during the year. But he still had a decent supporting cast last year. What's the cast like in L.A.? I mean, especially after the trades yesterday, because as good as he is singularly in as many double-digit fourth-quarter performances he gave Boston last year, does he have the kind of help in L.A. now that they, even if he does play
no.
well, that they can end up having a much better record
but
than they would
he,
have?
Doesn't he thrive when he's the best player? Doesn't he give you his most value when he's the best player on the floor for your team?
Yes, but it still may not be enough.
It may not be.
He's not going to have the type of season for the rest of this season like he had last year in Boston. And even if he got something approaching that, I don't think it's going to be enough with that team, with what the Lakers have now, to make a big difference in terms of what their win-loss will be by the end of this year. In effect,
but if you're the Celtics, you need them to crash and burn.
Yes, to affect
you
their draft
them,
position.
Yeah, you need
that's
them to,
the only thing we're concerned
like,
about.
To go completely in the tank, and I'm not sure it's going to happen to benefit the Celtics.
You're right. Okay, but from that regard, he could be worth a few wins that could screw that up for
and
you.
I think L.A. is hurt with Nance and Clarkson going to Cleveland because those were like key guys on a bad team, but those are important guys there, and I'm not going to completely write them off because of that and say that they do add something to Cleveland.
Look,
and even when Cleveland has looked so bad and everyone's wanted to just say, all right, they're done, they're toast, I still don't love the proposition of having to deal with LeBron in a 7-game series. Like, no, I don't think they're winning the NBA championship, but I still look at them as a team that will be competitive when they get to the playoffs. Have LeBron, you will compete. That's how I view LeBron. I give him that credit. Regardless of the supporting cast, he will be competitive.
A couple of things. We'll see how Monroe fits. I think he's going to be a great fit. I think he's going to help this team. We'll see if the Celtics add via the buyout market. I think they will. I think they'll help their team that way. We'll see where Hayward is once you get to April, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As far as the Lakers, IT, he was great here, but let's look back at the history. Everywhere else he's been a major headache. Sacramento, Phoenix, and then Cleveland. He has been a major, major problem with teammates, and he's had issues with coaching staffs in the past. This is not the first time he has run into issues with the team. That was his history. That was his calling card, so to speak, before he got here to Boston. I think Ainge and Stevens did a great job for helping Isaiah get through the last couple of years in Boston in some, let's say, hiccups, to put it nicely, that he had with the media that we all overlooked because when he got on the floor, he was the king of the fourth and all those good things. He is going to want shots. He is going to want minutes. He is going to want to start. He's going to walk into free agency. The one thing that Isaiah is going to be concerned about is Isaiah. He's not worried about the Lakers' development. He's not worried about getting his teammates shots. He is worried about how much money am I going to make because people think I'm damaged goods. I just got traded twice in 4 to 6 months, whatever it is, and now people are going to question me. I need to justify getting a big fat-ass contract, and I'm going to do that by putting up points. And now when you're L.A., you've got Lonzo Ball, who has not played great this year. The Lakers have won when he's been sitting out. He wants to get back in the lineup. The Lakers want to get him back in the lineup to justify drafting him second overall. And on top of that, you have two of the most volatile people in all of the NBA off of the floor with Thomas and LaVar freaking Ball. All you need is one meltdown from one of those two, and things could completely fall apart.
That is fun. That will be fun to see if that happens, if all of a sudden there's there's some sort of war between IT and the Ball camp.
Oh.
I mean, that would be... Whoa, let's watch that one. Get your popcorn ready.
Put that in
the next book of Isaiah.
My gut tells me Isaiah won't suffer through a whole lot of nonsense from the Ball camp.
I don't think he will
either. That doesn't seem to be in his DNA to put up with a whole bunch of that.
Did Cleveland get better or worse yesterday? I think they got better.
They got better.
I think they're now a better team than what they were.
Did they get good enough?
To be determined. Maybe not. I mean, there's nothing there that tells you definitively they did.
Right.
But I think the Cavs came out a winner on this day.
Oh, I do too.
They did. They got younger. They got deeper. They probably got better defensively. They had a good day. Kobe Altman, I think, hit a home run yesterday. Just in terms of how he handled the day, he looked at the team and said, "This thing needs a makeover. We got too many a-holes here. Let's do something culturally," as he said. We needed a culture change.
Yeah.
So I gutted the roster, and we got better as a team. And that's not even talking about the culture stuff. Just on the floor, we got better, and we think we have a better group of guys.
Well, IT and LeBron, they weren't working out. They don't like each other. That's obvious. And you could tell by what was being said behind closed doors to reporters and the way that they were acting towards each other towards the very end before he was dealt. So they needed to do something. There's no doubt. And there's no denying. Listen, there's absolutely no denying that the Cavaliers are better today than they were yesterday. I mean, they shipped out Jay Crowder, who looks like he's 150 years old. They shipped out Isaiah Thomas, who looks like he's 70% healthy at best. Who else did they get rid of? Amon freaking Shumpert? They dealt nothing. To them, they basically dealt a bag of basketballs and a first-round pick to bring back Rodney Hood and others. The one question I have, I'm never thinking short term. You know, they got better, yes. But again, long term, they might be stuck with this team. And so what is the ceiling of this team? The Celtics, you look at them, Jaylen Brown's going to get better. Tatum's going to get better. They have a lot of draft picks. They're getting Hayward back. If Cleveland is stuck, quote unquote, with this team, even though it's better than the team they had 2 days ago, it's still a team that's not going to be good enough, inevitably, to get to where they want to get to.
Do you think the Celtics' approach at the deadline yesterday tells us anything about how they feel about this team and its chances?
No.
See, I think it sort of does.
I think the Monroe signing does.
If you think that this team is going to be really in the mix to win it all this year, you would have done more than what you did.
No, but see, no team was dealing a first-round pick. The Lakers, they asked for the first-round pick from Cleveland, and they got that because, again, Cleveland wasn't trading anything of consequence, so they had to give something to get something. So they had to deal that first-round pick. Elsewhere around the NBA, no one was dealing first-round picks. And, you know, if they offered a second-round pick or a couple of second-round picks for Tyreek Evans, that's fine. I'll tell you why, Beetle, because...
No, and by the way, I think this is smart. I think their approach was perfect. This is how they should handle this. All right, we'll see if there's any decent candidates on buyouts that we can get.
Right.
We'll add some small pieces here. We'll definitely add to the team. We're not going to overextend ourselves this year.
No.
We have something much bigger on the horizon for next season.
Right now, what they're looking at right now, getting past the Cavaliers in the East may happen. I think that's a reasonable expectation.
I think they handled it well.
Golden State sitting there at a 7-game series? You're going to go beat them?
Well, so the Marcus Smart question that was being thrown around a lot, a lot of people just look at Smart and say, okay, I don't like him as a player. He can't shoot. Get rid of him. If you're going to go to Golden State, you need Marcus Smart on your team. If you're going to deal Smart and you play against Golden State, you better have a plan B to bring someone else in who can defend at that level.
Or if what you get in return is really good, then you would do that deal. But if you're just going to get a crappy pick for him, or what would be the point of it?
Well, so
what would be the point of that deal? Because he's going to help your team this year at some point again.
This is somewhat basketball nerdish, but the bigger thing with Smart is the contract. Because if you are the Celtics and you think you have any chance of bringing in a Towns or a Davis or a max guy, you need to match salaries. And where they're at right now, you're not going to send out both Tatum and Brown. So you need Smart's contract more than you need Smart if that deal pops up. You need that money that you could sign Smart to add along Jaylen Brown's contract, Marcus Morris's contract, so you can match those contracts and bring in a max guy.
He could be a far more valuable chip this coming offseason.
And you know what else?
And all your other assets, like your draft picks, are more valuable assets in the offseason.
And you know what sneakily
than they were yesterday.
What sneakily made a huge difference for Smart? What made Smart a hell of a lot more exciting for the Celtics front office is Lou Williams. Lou Williams signed a contract with the Clippers a couple of days ago for low money. In the season that Williams is having, now the Celtics, they have leverage with Smart. They might be able to sign him to a contract for $7, $8 million a year, which, you know, you go back a couple months ago, wasn't going to be the case.
We'll get to your calls on Celtics stuff, Bruins, Patriots, whatever you want. We're going to get to it coming up after the CBS Sports Minute. Feinstein talking about Rick Barnes and situation at Tennessee.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.20 on this Friday, Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy in for Zoe. Cattles in for Hardy. No Zo. Flu. Hashtag flu.
What is this song? What's the
what's the meaning behind
who
it?
Who is this? Hinder?
Who is this? It's a good song. It's Friday afternoon.
Hoobastank? Who is it?
Lionel Richie.
Hmm.
Beatle was devastated.
Oh, I wouldn't say devastated. I was upset.
When he heard that he wasn't going to be performing at the Patriots
postgame. I've been told he was going to be at the postgame. He was not. But I did see J-Lo. Oh, boy.
I saw J-Lo. It's a good show.
It was a show. It was good. Yep. You know how, like, Tom Brady has his arm insured, right?
Yeah.
Like, Lloyd's of London, I think, does the insurance.
Yeah.
You think she has a policy on her rear?
Yeah.
I would take out a policy.
How could you injure it, though?
Who knows?
Well, now.
I mean, wouldn't you just want to make sure? Like, in case anything happens, there's a payment coming my way. I mean, that's a big part of the act.
Yes, it is.
Was it not? Was it not a big part of the act?
It was a big part of the act.
Yeah. Big and beautiful.
I thought it was a heck of a show.
Did you catch
dancing and
were you there
singing
until the end? Were you there until the end of the act?
What, when she brought A-Rod out?
No, that was earlier. When she wrapped up her final song?
I don't know.
There was like probably a straight not. 60 seconds where that part of the act was the last featured thing before she left the stage.
Where she just turned around and shook it?
For a straight minute.
Yeah. That's...
Jim, that true or false?
Confirmed, yes.
Confirmed. And I'm like, this is how you... This is a mate. This is how it ends. Right? I just think that would be an insurable property.
People what they want.
That is fantastic.
That's what happened. It was like a full 60 seconds where it just... I'm like, what? Is this what they do with the... Oh, my God. Yes, it is. This is how they cap it.
They're doing it.
This is the capper.
This is happening.
This is the topper. This is how she goes out with a bang.
It's better than the game.
Yeah. Oof. Better ending.
It didn't disappoint at the end.
Didn't see that part.
You should have stayed.
I would have remembered.
I enjoyed...
I didn't get to see any of it, if that makes you feel better, Hardy.
I was anxious to get outside and track down an Uber driver in 8 below weather with a wind chill probably closer to 30 below. And somehow make my way back to the hotel so I get 2.5 hours sleep. It'll be whoop.
Mark in Medford talking Bruins. Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Mark.
Couple of things. First off, when Felga comes in today, if you look real close, you might see a beak and some black feathers blown out of him from so much crow he's been eating back in early November saying Boston will not have a hockey season. But yesterday, he's got them winning the President's Trophy. And the second thing, yesterday, he's got them winning the President's Trophy. We heard that show yesterday. And the second thing is, normally every year with the 7th Player Award, it's kind of predictable who you know is going to win. This year, it could be anybody on this team, but I've narrowed it down to 3, and I would go with DeBrusk, Heinen, and as Hardy would say, Anton Khudobin.
I like it. I like it.
I love Heinen. Love him.
Yeah,
under the radar, guy who plays the full length of the ice every single second he's out there for the most part. Like, I like what he brings.
I like him too, and I don't, but here's the thing about Felger and him eating all the crow and whatnot. I know very well the game that sent him over the edge early on in the season. I was at that game.
It was like 4 games into the season.
When you're playing against...
Don't defend that.
You're playing against a brand new team.
Don't defend that.
In a building that really doesn't have a home crowd yet. And the goaltender you're facing is Malcolm Subban.
Yeah, it was like 4 games in.
Yeah, and in 4 games in, even then, you should know to put more than 11 shots on net against Malcolm Subban through the first... It wasn't quite 2 periods, but it might as well have been.
A hockey
they
guy.
They didn't challenge him at all, and it was just dead. I'm watching that team that night, like, oh, that was putrid, and they showed no signs of life. Now,
Felger's opinion was more putrid.
It seemed a bit extensive to say that the season was then over.
You think?
And that he had given up on them. But I don't blame him for having no confidence in that team based on that performance.
Now, see, what interests me is I don't think there's any way that Felger comes out 4 games into a Celtics season and says that, or 2 games into the Patriots season and says that. Something tells me that it might have been pulling at the heartstrings a little bit. You know, the guy that calls out people for always feeling, you know, feeling way too invested in a team.
Oh, yeah,
because
he's a footy pajama invested Bruins
fan. Yeah,
it's
funny.
That's what it is.
It's funny. He can attack everybody else for being honks. But when his honkish comes out for the Bruins, it's sometimes overlooked.
It was a messy start to the year.
It's a
It wasn't just four games. Billy Jaffe was in with us a month into the year, and we were like, "What? There's no season here."
Listen,
there's
you guys, to speak of. I might be spitting into the wind here. You guys can't defend Felger coming out and saying
they weren't making the playoffs after four games. If it was four games, I don't remember exactly when it was. It was four games. No,
it was like the second week of the season.
I can tell you that a month in, it didn't look good. It looked like they were not going to have a season. Just going over some news that was just put out by Adam Schefter. He's got the details of the Jimmy Garoppolo deal.
Yeah.
It's going to guarantee him $61.2 million through the first 2 years of the deal.
So it did drop more. Went from 90 guaranteed to 75 to, what is it, 61?
Well, no, that's 61 over the first 2 years, because after the first two years, they can get out for $61 million, which is still...
It's $42 million this year, year one.
Year one, guaranteed money is... $42.6 million. Out of the gate in injury guarantees, $74.1 million.
Woo!
I mean, there's still huge numbers in there.
Jimmy getting paid.
Good for him.
Zoe says always look at the first 3 years.
Yeah.
It's 3 years, $90 million, basically. That's always the player looks at the first 3 years, basically.
How silly was it that some people actually thought, and even more silly, that apparently some people thought this in the Patriots organization, that they might be able to work out a bridge deal with Garoppolo? I mean, are you kidding me? You look at the numbers he just got. There was no way that Jimmy Garoppolo was going to sign a quote-unquote bridge deal to sit on the bench and watch Brady play.
What if it was two at 20? So that's $40 million. 2 years, $40 million. And that's a hard deal to do because cap-wise, you've got very little flexibility to work there for the Patriots. But let's assume that number before he had played in San Francisco, because his value obviously went up once he played in San Francisco.
Well, so I would say that your value doesn't go up that much when somebody trades for you and they're willing to put that much money out there. I believe Bedard tweeted out earlier, Aaron Rodgers signed an extension after he played seven games. So this isn't like new territory.
Nobody had played two before this.
Right. I have a different, I guess, definition of bridge deal. Like, I know that Wickersham story said about $17 million a year, but other people came out at the time and said, well, that was with incentives. So,
remember when Zoe laughed at that? Laughed at that idea.
So I don't think it's that ridiculous, though, when they just did it with McDaniels. They did the same thing with McDaniels. He's got a bridge deal. He could have made way more money with the Colts, right?
I don't know. I mean, part of that story is that Kraft gave a ton of money up to McDaniels. That was part of the reason he was staying, is that they upped the ante so much that they made it financially not crazy.
Well, he sweetened his deal.
And I think we're talking about coaches versus quarterbacks, right? I mean, you can pay a coach what?
Whatever you want.
If you pay McDaniels $5 million, I don't know how much he makes, but maybe $5 million's enough? Like, to me, a bridge deal is if it's a two-year, $25 million scenario. That's not going to work because he could get franchised no matter what. He was looking at making around $25 million no matter what. So you would have to get 2 or 3 years of Garoppolo, you would have to pay him like San Francisco did. You're looking at $65-70 million in the first couple of years of that deal for Garoppolo to look at himself and his agent and say, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, see, I just don't think he was worth or was going to get. If he were to, let's say he had stayed here, didn't play in San Francisco and hit the market, he's not getting the deal that he just got. I'm sorry, he's not. No one would pay him this deal without having seen him play the way that he did in those five games. As little of a sample that is in the big picture, those five games were very important for him getting this deal.
I agree with you, but here's the problem. We are logical people. When you're talking about the NFL front offices and the quarterback position, they lose all logic.
Totally agree, which is why I believe that the Patriots could have forced San Francisco to give them more than a second-round pick.
That whole thing was bungled. They should have dealt him in the offseason to begin with.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's the big one. The timing was stupid because they really limited themselves by doing it in season. But at the very least, they could have created a market. They could have called Cleveland. Even if Cleveland, after the fact, is lying about what they were willing to give up, at least create a market. It doesn't feel, at least according to Schefter, that they ever created a market. They called Kyle Shanahan because Bill Belichick is friendly with the Shanahans and wanted Jimmy to land in a good spot. Wanted them to be in a good place.
This is the reputation that this kid had, at least in San Francisco. And again, did him playing at the end of the year up it? Yeah, it upped it. I don't know by how much. But I think it's, you look at this kind of contract signed by him, I mean, San Francisco is telling you they think he's a franchise guy. And to give up a second-round pick for a franchise guy, it doesn't add up.
Right. It doesn't. It just doesn't. Because on top of that, you know, look at any other franchise guy in the league. What if Drew Brees was offered up in a trade when he's nearing the end of his contract? Or Aaron Rodgers is offered up in a trade near the end of the contract? Because you're going to have to pay the guy, you're not willing to give up better draft capital? This is the most important position in the NFL. You don't have a team without the quarterback. There's no point. There's no point to your existence if you don't have the star quarterback who can actually win when it counts. No point. You could definitely get teams to get stupid on that front.
I mean,
always.
I tweeted it yesterday. Belichick is the GOAT. You can also say Belichick had two major screw-ups, and that was the Garoppolo situation and what they got out of it, and obviously Butler at the Super Bowl.
617-779-0985. Fake promos. We've got 8 of them this week are coming up at 150.
Sports Hub headlines.
All right, so there was this Boston Herald story that came out late last night, written by Ron Borges, had to do with Tom Brady saying that he was willing to sit out OTAs unless he was paid more money than the aforementioned Jimmy Garoppolo agreed to with the 49ers yesterday. Well, that story has been pulled. That's right, Boston Herald erased it from everyone's memory, at least online. That story was written by Ron Borges, and apparently Borges was catfished by a radio caller via text. In actual news, the Pats reportedly working on a new contract to bring back special teams coordinator Joe Judge. Celtics beat the Wizards in overtime last night. They will host the Pacers tonight. Greg Monroe had his debut against the Wizards last night, played 20 minutes, had 5 points and 6 rebounds. Celtics tonight with Grandy and Max at 7 o'clock. Bruins off tonight, back at it, hosting the Buffalo Sabres tomorrow night. Nola Chari practiced without a red contact sweater this morning. Kevin Miller, Frank Vetrano did not practice. Tuukka Rask will get the start tomorrow. Finally, Evan Drellick of NBC Sports Boston reporting that the Red Sox and Logan Morrison's camp have been in touch recently. The Sox still want J.D. Martinez, but there is groundwork for alternatives. Headlines are brought to you by Stoneham Bank. If you need a bank, make it Stoneham Bank. Expect more, get more, do more. That's Stoneham Bank. Way. Learn more now at StonehamBank.com. I'm Nick Cattle. 6 headlines coming up. 2 o'clock.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, we got 5 minutes and we got 5 calls on the line. Everyone gets like 45 seconds.
I like this.
Is that good?
It's a firing squad.
Jungle Owen Brockton, go.
Yeah, what's up with Grant, 29 years old, talking about retiring? Doesn't look like he's going to be around 2 or 3 years from now. What do you guys think about that?
Okay, he got that in 15 seconds.
That's a good job by
Gronk
him.
Gronk retires, yes or no? I say no, he won't retire. He'll play, but the thoughts on his part are genuine. That's what I believe, how it goes going into next year.
I believe he's got people around him telling him that he could go make movies and make more money, and he should go do that and save his body and save himself from being hurt anymore, and I think that would be the wrong move. I think he should continue to do what he's great at. What he's great at is being a tight end in the NFL. It's a game, but it's still a real thing. It's not wrestling. It's not a bad movie. It's a real thing that other people like us just sit back and marvel and talk about.
You overused your 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next.
He's back. That's it. I'm done.
There we go. Next.
I didn't know I had 15 seconds.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're trying to do each one in a minute here.
Stick right, with go. The theme, Marty. Come on.
Go. Okay.
Go.
All right.
Go.
Jake in California on the Celtics. Jake.
Hey, so there's a lot of talk about how if the Lakers suck, it's good for the Celtics. But I think we're kind of forgetting the fact that the Sacramento Kings are the second worst team in the West. And if the Lakers pick falls out of the 2-5, it would then allow the Celtics potentially get a high pick, but also stagger their top talent. And I recognize that Tatum and Brown, I recognize that the draft this year is going to be a really high quality draft, but I think it might be good to have that extra year in between them, so you don't have to pay stars back-to-back-to-back years.
Okay, that is definitely looking at the upside there.
Yeah, I think there's only one thing that can go wrong with that pick, and that's if Sacramento ends up landing the number one pick in 2019 and you're stuck with Philly. Other than that, you're looking good. You either get 2-5 or Sacramento, which is a walking dumpster fire every single year, will be a dumpster fire again likely next year, and you end up with a top five pick anyway.
Okay, very good. We move on to George and Methuen on Isaiah Thomas. George.
Hey, what's up, Beto? What's up, Hottie?
Hey.
On Isaiah Thomas, I agree with you, Beto. He does thrive when he's the man in the team. He does better for some reason. You know, when he's the man, yep, he makes better. And should I get excited about Jimmy G? I'm a 49 fan. What do you guys think?
I think it's okay to get excited about Jimmy Garoppolo. I wouldn't get excited about the five games he played in borderline garbage time. The entire games were garbage time. Those games were meaningless. Oh, I get so excited. You see the way he managed the game? He knew how many timeouts he had. He was talking with the coaches before he got the ball in the two-minute drill. Oh, my goodness. He was actually going down the list of plays they were going to run. Stop it. It's called being a quarterback in the NFL. But if you want to get excited, sure, you can. He's a good quarterback. He's going to be good.
I'd be excited. You've got a real quarterback. You got a guy who can actually play the position.
Yeah.
Who's going to make your team better.
We think.
Now, I'd be more concerned if I were a 49ers fan. Are the 49ers actually going to use up that space? They front-loaded the Garoppolo deal. Are they actually going to put other pieces around him sooner rather than later? That's what I would want to know.
Well, so when you look at his contract, I know Jim came in here during the break and he mentioned this. Field Yates tweeted out that San Francisco is putting $37 million of their $100 million in cap space towards Garoppolo's deal, which is very smart because you front-load the contract. If you waited and you franchise them this year, you don't know what your cap number is going to be in subsequent years. So you give them the fat paycheck now, and then as he continues in your head, if you're San Francisco to get better, then you're able to surround him with better players.
Peter in Jamaica Plain. Peter.
Yeah, I'll go quick. I love Terry Rozier. I think he's gotten better every year. I'd love to see them sign him long term. I think he's better than Marcus Smart, but I'm going right to Kyrie Irving against Terry. Rozier is a better rebounder.
Okay.
He's a better defender for sure, and he's shown some really good offense. And they have the ball for the next 2 years, but he'd be a lot cheaper. I'm a Terry Rozier fan, even over Kyrie.
Well, I could tell.
Over Kyrie?
Why not?
Oh, for a lot of reasons. Why? Who would you rather have on your team, Kyrie Irving or Terry Rozier? I'm going to take Kyrie Irving. Call me crazy.
I don't think we need to add to that.
Nope, we don't. Bob in New Hampshire. Bob.
Hey, I got a quick question, guys. I know I'm going to try to get this done in 60 seconds. One thing, and this might have been already talked about, if it has, I apologize for the repeat. On the Butler thing, is it possible what Belichick said was right and the fact that he uses the strategy for the game? He looked at the Eagles, at the offense and defense, obviously offensive passing and rushing. And, you know, we can't match up. We don't want them rushing the ball. They get two experienced running backs that can kill us. So instead, let's get it to the backup quarterback, and then we'll have a shootout between Brady and Bowles. My money's on Brady. If he does that, because basically Philadelphia was running up and down the field going, look, at Butler thought they were going to pass the ball. They only ran the ball half the amount of time that they usually do because of the formation that Belichick put out there. He's done this before, Belichick, with the Giants. Is it possible he did it then?
Do you think it was the strategy that Bill Belichick, regardless of what Malcolm Butler did during that week, right before the game at any point, it was his strategy, it was his plan all along not to play him at all on defense? No, I don't believe that. Do I think Belichick thought he could win without playing Butler in any defensive snaps? Yeah, I don't think Belichick would risk losing the Super Bowl to prove a point. I think he still felt he could win the game without playing Butler. Was it the plan all along? No, I don't believe that. That was 15 seconds.
And it's 1:45. And coming up next, today's takeaways with the fake promos. We did it. Yay.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's me.
Time for the takeaways here on Zolak and Bertrand, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life and visit Awaken180weightloss.com. It's Friday. Zoe is sick. He's ill. He's at home.
We have documentation that he texted to us, forms from the doctor.
Sent us the doctor's note. He is unable to be here today, and so we will do the takeaways and this Friday fake promo.
Complete with
set without him.
List of his vitals. You want to know his blood pressure, pulse ox, all that stuff.
You said his temp was 98.8, right?
That was after taking Advil, though. Ibuprofen will bring
3 hours.
Down.
It'll bring it down that much?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It'll bring it down a normal range. The question is, was it really at 103?
There's no way it was 103. Yeah.
We don't know.
102?
He had to add at least 2 degrees.
Always.
At least.
Always.
At what point do you not add? 103 is you don't need to add anymore.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Right. I would say at 100, you really don't need to add.
Oh, no, I add.
Okay, 101. No need to add. You're at 101. No need to add.
I would not.
Maybe he was
I
at
still might add a 101.
Yeah.
If no, I'm Zoe, I add a 101. 102 feels like a cutoff point.
To me, 101 is it. Like, I feel confident saying I'm sick and I show you I got a 101 temp. That's good enough.
You're sick-ish.
No, 101's legit.
That's real.
You go run a marathon, you're going to be running 101 temperature at the end of it. That's just, you know, you're just running hot.
You run a lot of marathons and then take your temp, do you?
50, you hot.
You hot.
All right, to the fake promos. Let's hear them.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
What about Brady and McDaniel talking and Brady saying, you know, babe, I got one more shot.
Babe.
Like, let's do this together.
Like,
today.
I got you, babe.
No.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the sports
hub. Breer?
No.
Breer.
No.
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 Nope.
Let me think. No.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
All right, next.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Now,
he just figured himself.
You would, what? You would say, why are people leaving?
Come on.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the sports hub.
That one got me.
I tried to save it.
That one got me.
You did not want to be saved.
No.
People leaving. The last laugh on the ha!
I did that one on purpose.
Yeah.
That was on purpose.
That one.
That was on purpose.
He's Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
The Isaiah Thomas era in Cleveland is over. Hey! What you got?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the sports hub.
Well-timed interruption by the computer.
That was great.
Well-timed.
Hey! Isaiah Thomas era in Cleveland is over. Hey!
Oh, that sounds like a song. Like an actual top 40
Mr. Big Shot. Is what it sounds like.
In Cleveland is over. Hey!
Who do you think you are?
Mr. Big Shot.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
It does.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Headlines are brought to you by Wendy's.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5.
Now, I'm guessing that was something off the air that was there?
Nope.
No.
That was on the air.
It's on the air.
That happened on the air.
Do you like Wendy's? Wendy's.
Ah.
Okay.
Ah.
Okay.
I gotcha.
You've never heard Zoe called weekend programs and ask if they prefer
Burger King
or Wendy's.
Yeah. Or their music to be on tape or CDs. Mm. There's a lot of ways to get there.
Yeah, Zoe.
Yep.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
If Romo were on the game last night.
Oh.
Ooh, ah. Ooh, ah. Ooh, ee, ah. Ooh, ah.
That was on Monday's show, Nick?
Yes, that was from Monday.
I'm really sorry I missed Monday's show. Sounded good. Like a good program.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
What do you want to talk about Houston? I see it on the line here.
Well, no, I mean, Houston, I mean, this is just where I live now.
Oh, okay.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the
sports hub. Zoe trying to operate the call screener.
What do you want to say about Houston?
I'm calling from Houston.
That's...
Hey, it says here you want to talk about Boston. We want to get to Boston.
And who was on the line,
Jim? I'm calling from Boston.
That was his former teammate, Mario Henry.
Mario Henry.
So, like, his like friend and somebody who he talks to was on the line.
Someone that he knew.
Somebody he knew.
said Mario in Houston wanted to talk to Zoe, former teammate, was the subject line.
Yeah.
And he just went with, I said, you want to talk about Houston? Nope.
Nope. No,
he doesn't get it.
No, you see, that's, just, where I, that's where I'm from, or at least that's where I am right now.
That's where I live. Yeah. I'm in Houston.
That's how this thing works. Name and then, yeah. Okay.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
That's from earlier today. That's Hardy doing his best Michael McDonald
the
impression.
Isolated vocal than Michael McDonald.
It's going to be a little bit more high pitched, though, right?
Well, it's tough, man, when you got to do that falsa.
Yeah.
Tough.
Not easy.
No. Taking it to the street.
Yeah.
Well, we also found out that Nick Cattles has a brother whose favorite artist is that appropriate?
Yeah.
Favorite artist is Michael McDonald.
Yeah. We went to a Michael McDonald show and he cornered him in when he was walking. Yeah. He was walking to his bus.
Personal interaction?
Yes. He was walking to his bus and my brother Adam was like, I need a picture. I need a picture. We have a picture of him and Michael McDonald. It's that embarrassing.
Beetle, you've met him. He's the guy that was heckling the Cubs.
I've met him. He's
Hardy met him.
He's hilarious.
At my wedding.
Oh yeah, don't remember.
I've met his brother before. We went to a Sox game. That's right.
Listen, we got one more. That this is going to be in December. We will hear this again for maybe the best one of the year.
Okay.
This is certainly the best fake promo of the year.
It's a build. It's a build.
I love this.
That's
a tease. Zolak and Bertrand.
There are times when he has the ball that he looks like a deer with its head cut off. That makes any sense. Just like a deer out in space.
Bertrand, like a deer with his head cut off? Like a deer out in space?
Like a deer with his head cut off.
Like a deer out in
like
space.
Like a deer out in space.
What in the hell? What happened there?
There's a lot more to that.
What? Zoe had one of those once before. When he messed up the metaphor, it's like, you know, it's...
Not quite the deer in headlights. It's the deer with his head cut off.
This week he said it's a deer on ice. Was a new one.
Like what?
And I'm like, I guess that could make sense. Deer on ice. You ever seen a deer try and walk around a frozen lake? I mean, it's falling all over the place.
Deer
on ice.
Deer with his head cut off.
Deer with his head cut off. Then he says it's like a deer in space.
I think what you're looking for is the chicken
one with
its
head cut off.
Yes, yes.
Deer in the headlights. It's like a chicken in the headlights with its head cut off acting like a deer in space on a space shuttle. You know what I'm saying? Shut up. Tech call.
Shut up. Take a call.
Turn up, Jim.
From Houston.
From Houston. You want to talk about Houston?
It's like...
Hey, Timmy, you want to talk about Watertown? No. That's where I'm at.
I'm calling from Watertown.
That's actually where I'm calling from, Scott.
No. It's like a deer ordering chicken with its head cut off out in space from Houston. Launch from Houston. Turn it up.
All right, Felger Mess. Coming up next, a couple of former journalists. I do say former because they definitely aren't that anymore. I want to hear their take on Borges.
They both still write?
Yeah, come on.